Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you've been enjoying our live episodes, why not come see a live recording of Drunk Women Solving Crime? Our next shows of 2019 are at the Pleasance Theatre, London on Sunday, February 24th, with guests Helen Lederer and Beck Hill, and Thursday, April 25th, with Desiree Birch and Zoe Lyons. Tickets available at pleasance.co.uk. We also have a special show at the Vault Festival for International Women's Day on Friday, March 8th, with YouTube star, sex educator, and author Hannah Witten, with 100% of the proceeds going to Child.org's Team Mum campaign. You can find more info and buy tickets at vaultfestival.com.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Now it's time.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Taylor Glenn, and I'm a writer and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
As well as author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
This is where beer meets breaking and entering, Prosecco meets perjury, and vodka meets vandalism. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime...
Trousers. Get your trousers off, love.
So she had opinions and she liked to travel. What a cunt.
Guys, yeah. Isn't it funny how I pretend not to know anything?
Fraud, shoplifting, looting, embezzlement.
Nice.
Or what I call a Thursday.
Human fat, human fat, human fat.
Women solving crime.
Hello, this is Drunk Women Solving Crime, and I've got a cork in my mouth.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is a cork. That is a cork, not a...
and a mouth.
I didn't even see how that could be misconstrued.
Is this a first or a second record? No one will ever know.
You decide. I am so excited to introduce our guest for this episode is the fantastic Jenny Ryan.
What a welcome.
Jenny is also known as the Vixen from ITV's hit quiz show The Chase.
That I am.
Yes, The Chase.
Now, I've also learned from Wikipedia.
Oh, there's a lot of lies on there.
Another nickname, which I was not aware of, the Bolton Brainiac.
Yeah.
Ooh. Which of these do you prefer, Jenny?
The Bolton Brainiac it's nice and accurate because I'm from Bolton and I use my brain. A lot of people complain about me being called the vixen, because I'm called the vixen because vixens are cunning, they're clever, and I've got a lot of red hair, so it kind of looks like the brush of a fox.
I like it.
And a lot of people on Twitter complain and say, oh, vixens are supposed to be hot. I'm like, what, you're supposed to fancy female foxes? No, that's not what this is. I mean, we've all watched Robin Hood, the Disney version. And to be honest, Robin would get it. Let's be perfectly honest. Yeah. But it's not a standard that vixens are supposed to be sexist. Yeah. Vixens are cunning, sly, clever,
right.
And yes. Ginger.
And also, right. There's nothing not sexy about all those things. So.
Yeah, there we go.
Also, I'm going to call it, there's nothing not sexy about you.
Yeah.
Whoa! Oh. Oh.
Yeah,
I'm coming
you by
there
your brain
too.
First,
you're super hot.
Yeah,
hey guys, I think we start this podcast.
Yeah, I'm sorry, sexually objectifying our guests. I didn't mean to take it this way. I apologize.
We're really good feminists, and we really fancy you. Yeah.
What does that mean?
You are the hottest woman on ITV. I've said it. I've called it. I'm sorry.
Also, take that, Holly Willoughby.
Bolton Brainiac. I feel like
that's an alliteration.
Yeah.
So it's got that edge.
Yeah. I feel like you take the vixen home and you wake up with a Bolton Brainiac. That makes sense.
That was very hopeful, wasn't it?
That made sense in my head. I feel like you've made it if you have a nickname that sounds positive with your hometown in it. Because I know that if somebody came up with a nickname for me with my hometown, like, it would not be a positive thing. So well done. Do you know what I mean?
What's like, your hometown? Can
Freeport,
we
like the Freeport freak. Like, it just wouldn't be.
And I'd be proud of that.
And I'm sure you've come out of it well, because there's probably some poor bastards from Bolton that do not have such nice nicknames. Like, for instance, I thought of, like, the Bolton butt plug just popped into my head.
There is an actor called Bernard Wrigley who is known as the Bolton bullfrog.
Oh.
Because he has that kind of voice.
That kind of voice.
Yeah.
He like ribbits.
Pretty much, yeah. It's a good name, though. The Bolton bullfrog.
It's reliable.
The Bolton Bitcoin investor. I have a whole list of them, but let's carry on.
That is harsh.
Katie.
Well, that guy's a millionaire now, the Bolton Bitcoin investor.
Or is he?
Katie, Hannah, hi.
Hey.
Good. And just a quick plug for, we've had some Prosecco donated, yes! Finally.
Yes!
Our drink of choice, and it's called Princess Prosecco, because we are princesses, if nothing else.
I am living my dream.
Exactly. And I should mention that it's vegan, gluten-free, and dairy-free, but it's just delicious.
Yay.
So thank you very much for the donation, Princess P.
Yeah.
And also, just a quick reminder, sorry to nag you guys, but please follow us on social media, and for goodness sake, review us on iTunes if you like us.
Yeah, only if you like us.
That's not a nag, that's a treat for them to do that.
Isn't it a treat to fill up all those stars?
Yeah.
Like when you go and you're like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it just feels so good.
5 stars. I love the podcast. They're a little bit arrogant, it turns out. And you can write that if you like. We'll take it.
As long as you get the 5 stars.
Yeah. Give a shit. You can write whatever you like.
Yeah.
In fact, bring it.
Yeah.
That's your challenge.
The Freetown Freak. Or what? Where do you live? Where did you come from?
Freeport.
Beat that.
Come
up with
a nickname. They used to call me Tractor Taylor.
Tractor Taylor. Is it because you're really slow?
She holds up traffic everywhere. Blocking country lanes.
New challenge. 1990. New challenge. Give us 5 stars. Come up with a nickname for us. We will read the best ones out loud.
Ooh.
And by best ones, we mean least insulting. My God.
Or any.
Most insulting. Most alliterative.
This is going to be like 5 stars, dipshits. So excited.
Oh, by the way, our favourite one is, there was this review on iTunes where somebody put, what was it? It was like, it's not ideal to play in my taxi, but it gets played anyway.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, that was amazing.
Yeah. I love the person that plays this shit in their taxi.
Yes.
Respect to you, sir or madam. We do not know, but we are very happy that you listen.
That would be a 5-star Uber rating for me.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
5 stars all round.
Even though I said Bolton butt plug, that's nice. That's generous.
I'll take it. All right. Had work.
Jenny, I regret making some sort of comment about who you take home and who you wake up with. I think I was thinking about Notting Hill for some reason, which is a shit film. Let's get down to the meat of this. Jenny, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Bolton is not a crime-free town.
Is it not?
No, what? Sadly not. Sadly not.
I've never been.
You know, you're very welcome to come and visit and be disappointed. Although I'm not sure what Freeport's like, so it might be comparable.
It is, really.
Yeah. I've got a lot of...
Twinned with Bolton.
A lot of civic pride, but I mean, we had our fair share of burglaries when I was a kid.
Okay. Did your house get burgled?
Oh, several times.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, we until I was sort of 15, we lived in a slightly... ropey area of town, and it was quite easy to jump over the back wall through the yard and jemmy open the back window. And I remember my brand new Game Boy went
Oh,
Tetris was something that was never ever put down.
Oh,
Kirby.
I used to love Tetris.
Oh, wow. This was the days before Pokemon. I mean, if Pokemon had come out while I was still at school, then there would have been no Bolton Brainiac, I don't think. I mean, at least Pokemon Go gets you out and about. but the worst burglary, I have such vivid memories of it. It was late November. It must have been the last weekend in November in 1999.
Ooh.
We'd moved to a nice street in an area called Horwich, but we're not in the middle of Horwich, so it's kind of a slightly rural bit between the centre of Bolton and this outlying sort of villagey bit.
Okay.
And... we lived in a three-story house, so there was the kitchen and living room on the ground floor. Our context is I was 17 and I was doing my A-levels.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird topsy-turvy house in that the kitchen, where you came into the kitchen from the street and then the living room was on the other side of the house.
Right.
And that went onto a field that was like on the side of a hill, so there was nothing on the other side of it. It was really kind of countrified. The next floor up, I had my bedroom, there was a little bathroom, and I'd been studying because, you know, A-levels. I was studying A-level philosophy at the time.
Ooh,
and I'd been typing up. I had an old laptop. It was pretty antiquated, but all my notes were on there.
So I
was typing up all my notes on the Communist Manifesto, compare and contrast with utilitarianism as put forward by John Stuart Mill in On Liberty.
Very nice.
I understood all
endless,
of that.
Endless.
I did.
Endless notes. I put them all. I just saved them onto the laptop. And then upstairs was, it was open plan. It was my mum's bedroom bathroom with a big bath in it. So
I love the idea that the laptop never got stolen and you were just bragging.
Oh, wait.
Okay, sorry, carry on.
There's a story. So at this time as well, I was working in a record shop. And it was a Sunday. And I would have finished work at about 5:45. Because we've closed the shop at 5, and then you put out all the new, you'd rearrange the charts, and then you put all the new stock out. It's very exciting. And that weekend, I'd got paid, and I had bought it was a limited edition version of the Beastie Boys anthology, so it's like a 3-CD set.
Oh my God, I remember that.
Yes. It was like black and white packaging.
Priceless. Priceless.
It was, and... It was not cheap. When you're 17 and you're saving up your pennies,
yes,
it was excellent. So I went home. My mum had done Sunday lunch. My auntie had come round. And the rules were that if you were washing up, you got to put whatever you wanted on the CD player. If you're in charge in the kitchen, so all the food had been done. I was like, I'm going to wash up. Then I'm going to go upstairs. I'm going to do a bit more work. I'm going to have a bath on the top floor. This is my plan, so I'm going to put Beastie Boys on. This is going to be amazing.
I never washed the shit out of those dishes.
So I saw my auntie off the premises.
What you want?
Closed the door. I was in the kitchen, which is like the street-facing room. Put my music on the little hi-fi in the corner. Hi-fi. Was blasting out some Beastie Boys just loud enough that I wasn't disturbing my mum watching Antiques Roadshow.
I was blasting it out, but not.
Mum was blasting out Antiques
really
Roadshow.
Really respectful blasting.
Oh, songs of praise, mate. Come on. And then I thought, I'll do a bit more. I'm going to go and have a bath. I'm going to treat myself. So at this point, the kitchen is empty at the front of the house. The first floor.
But locked, right?
I've got out my clothes. I've got my dressing gown and I'm wandering up and down between the two floors. The front door's locked. I've seen my auntie off the premises, closed the door behind her. I remember closing the door because I pulled a face at her through the window.
Right.
We had a very sort of abusive relationship. Yeah, it was all face pulling. And so I was wandering basically unclothed between the first and second floors, ran my bath, came back down, went back upstairs. At some point during this period, somebody has broken in.
Fuck.
While my parents are in the living room watching Antiques Roadshow.
Very high volume Antiques Roadshow.
It must have been.
Yeah.
And I was sort of semi-naked between two floors upstairs. So I come back out of the bath. Where's my laptop?
Oh.
That's weird. All my notes on it.
Shit.
2 years worth of notes. Oh. And I went downstairs and there were quite a few things missing from the kitchen, including the CD player.
So creepy.
Including the CD. With the CD in it. So shit. I had an incomplete Beastie Boys.
Limited edition.
Complete anthology.
Ugh.
But somebody must have known to be able to go upstairs.
Yeah.
The only way you could see that there was a laptop in the first floor room, I was playing detective at this point.
Yeah.
The house across the street was having work done on it, scaffolding.
Oh.
I thought someone was working on the roof across the road and seen that there was valuables in that front room.
Is anyone else just thinking it was definitely the aunt? I mean, like, she left just before the robbery.
She didn't have a key, so she was very accomplished at getting in.
Was there smashed glass? How did they get in?
We don't really know. We can't figure out how they got in. There was no smashed glass.
That's so creepy.
And I had closed the door. I remember distinctly closing the door properly.
And could anyone...
They were very strong, because laptops in 99 weighed 400
Yeah, and the amount of data that was on there. My notes, they weighed it down. That hard drive was heavy.
Wow.
But I remember distinctly, and my auntie had also, that she corroborated that I'd...
clicked it shut.
That I'd clicked
it shut.
Yeah, she
fucking would, wouldn't she?
Vic, if you are listening, you are now prime suspect in a 20-year-old case. I'm sure the police will reopen the file immediately.
Did Aunt Vic go on to be a Marxist scholar by any chance? Jenny, thank you for sharing that. I hope it wasn't too traumatic to relive.
I feel like I've unloaded a story that's stashed away for a long time.
All the way through, I was thinking, if you're doing the washing up and then you're going to have a bath, just take the washing up in the bath. Is that not logical?
It's up to
what
fourth,
is your
mate?
Life,
that's
Hannah?
It's a long way up.
Logically, that's what I do.
I think that's a Seinfeld episode. Actually,
oh my god!
Kramer decides to be more efficient, so he starts washing all the food
in the
shower.
Kramer?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh no!
Yes, you're racist and irrelevant. Well, if anyone's kept up with Michael Richards,
I really hope they have, because otherwise Taylor's just saying something about me. And
I didn't realize I was so upset about it. I should be directing that towards Liam Neeson and being a little bit more modern. So Jenny, one thing we always ask is if you could face the perpetrator, whoever it was who snuck into your house, you know, decided that what was yours was theirs.
Basically,
what would
you
say
call your
or do?
Right now? Yeah.
So we're going to phone Affin.
Well, we have it here right now. I would say, you know what? That was shabby, friend, because you've taken some property which is it's rapidly lost value. It's like it's like when you buy a brand new car, it's lost so much of its value by driving it off the forecourt. And I hope you can rap now, friend. And I hope you understand communism.
Cheers!
Cheers!
Drunk women solving crime.
Ladies and gentlemen, mostly ladies, all ladies, let's
men love us.
She said and then laughed.
We have so many male listeners, which makes me happy, because it's always like, if women make content, then only... Anyway, let's not
thanks,
do this.
Guys.
And also, like, men say they like us so that women will sleep with them.
Okay. You know what?
And because they like us.
If we're enough to get somebody into bed, then happy happy to provide that service. You guys, this is the case of the murder of Julia Martha Thomas.
Okay. Ooh.
Now, I felt like because we're in the presence of quizzing greatness, British quizzing, I sort of wanted to quietly keep tabs on like who was doing better in the quiz, because this is sort of a loose quiz format. Okay. But I'm going to keep it under wraps and then maybe we'll see who the winner is. It depends how much of this Prosecco I drink. Ladies and gentlemen, can two drunk women beat the vixen? Let's play.
I'm going to bet and say no.
Yeah, I mean, I'm already absolutely not.
I don't...
I will still try.
We're a team, Katie.
But, like...
Spoiler, I don't have a pen, so I can't write down the...
She's got the drop on us.
I'm not going to be able to keep score, but... Okay, you guys, in the summer of 2011...
Oh.
The skull of a murdered woman called Julia Martha Thomas was discovered in the garden of one of the most famous residents of the London borough of Richmond-upon-Thames.
Wow.
Without any hints, any guesses as to who this resident was.
A living resident.
Living resident. Oh, right. Still okay. Living. Shall I hint you?
Yes.
Yeah.
This man is a natural historian and English broadcaster.
David Attenborough.
I'm feeling
yes.
No, who it is.
Amber murdered. Oh my goodness.
Katie Wilkins is correct. Sir David Attenborough.
There's a skull found in his garden.
There was a skull found
in his
garden.
Was it definitely nothing to do with him? Because, I mean, like, everyone's got to have a dark side, and he is so lovable. She used one straw too many and killed a fish. She had to die.
That would be such a great end for Attenborough. Like, I love him. No, he's such a national treasure. But
we'd
if he
love
just
him.
Killed the woman and left a skull in his garden.
And then was like, it's not me. I love dolphins.
I wish I could do his voice, but I can't. Like,
I don't think I can do his voice. But there is just that thing where you, if
that
you take enough pauses...
That murder was for the polar bears.
It turns out you can't.
Turns out I can at all. That was my follow-up question, because it's a quiz question about him, but we'll jump to that. Was David Attenborough a suspect in this crime?
Well, actually, he should have been if the police were doing
Depends
their
how old
job.
The skull was, though.
Until
he's pretty old.
Until they... Yes!
How long has he lived there?
Luckily, Attenborough was not a suspect because the skull was so old.
Okay.
The murder of Julia Martha Thomas was one of the most notorious crimes of the late 19th century, the Victorian era. Fun fact, when I'm not sure when something took place in the UK, I either say medieval times, if it's really, really old, or Victorian era. There's just two eras.
There's not much in between, honestly.
Yeah. Nothing happened.
So, quiz question.
Ooh.
Which of the following words was considered obscene during the Victorian era?
Ooh.
Mm.
Leg... Bull or trousers?
Oh, trousers and bull was considered obscene.
I don't think Taylor knows what trousers are.
Pantaloons, the French. You weren't, pants was rude. And the Victorians, it was gauche and rude to shorten it to pants. They didn't like to say that.
Is that why you don't say pants?
I think so.
Oh, I like this.
You call them breeches and stuff like that. You didn't wear...
Yeah.
You didn't wear... trousers or pants or anything like you had specific kinds,
yeah.
Didn't you? And I can't help when I think Victorian for some reason I always go to Cockney.
Yeah.
Trousers. Get your trousers off, love.
Yeah, yeah.
Filthy when you.
It's gotta be rhyming slang.
Look, I go immediately. Wowzers, Danny Dyer.
Wowzers, yeah. Trousers.
Wowzers, trousers.
Katie, very good. Any advance on that, Jenny?
Probably all of them, because Victorians thought everything was filth.
Bull was a virile, like, and in fact, I read this thing a while ago, just not anything to do with this case. I had to do a quiz for kids for my book, but I couldn't use it. I couldn't use this one because it's rude. I didn't want to say sex stuff in front of kids.
Sure.
But, like, bull was considered sexual. So Victorians would say male cow. They wouldn't say bull.
Wow. That's
because
adorable.
Bull conjured up too much.
That is, so is that cute. What you were going to say in your
yes.
thing?
Jenny, you called it. Trick question. They were all considered wow. obscene, but well done.
That's
knowing.
Nice.
That's was, great. Well, also, I really feel like you could reel in more kids if you just had sex.
Yeah.
Like, I would have paid attention to fucking history if somebody was like, dirty word, coming up. Yes, they were all considered obscene. Bull, Katie, spot on, was associated Filth. With male fertility, so people called it cow brute, gentleman cow.
Gentleman cow! Gentleman's got a coal and a top hat.
Yes, yeah. And top cow.
Wow.
Top cow, the most incredible. Yeah.
Gentleman cow is so sweet, it's a,
that yeah. is the cutest.
Yeah.
I quite like that.
I mean, he definitely takes a lady out a few times before he tries to mount her, doesn't he?
He's a gentleman cow.
I'm no top cow. I'm a gentleman cow.
I don't want to eat that cow. He's too nice.
He's got
Let
a fedora
him go free and,
everything.
And be polite to the other cows.
Trousers was the one that shocked me because as an American, that sounds so formal and like only my grandpa would say trousers. You know what I mean? But yeah. like, so for that to be dirty is just, it's just a puritanical step too
like
far.
It's like the shortening of pantaloons to pants was okay. like a big
deal. Deadly
sin. Yeah.
So apparently trousers were called inexpressibles.
Oh my God.
Nether garments.
Oh, I'm going to use those.
Or sit down upons.
No, oh, that's insane.
Sit down upons. Which also sounds like what the Victorians would have called the poor. Like, the
yeah. They were such hypocrites.
Sit down upons is amazing.
Sit down upons is amazing.
I want to start a hipster band called the Sit Down Upons.
Yes.
They would definitely get gigs around Shoreditch.
Yeah, they yes. would.
So a bit more about Julia. She was a former school teacher, and as the Daily Telegraph is quick to point out, a twice widowed woman.
Oh.
Well, we need to know that.
She's been around the block.
Well,
yeah.
you know, still a little bit Victorian
she's
themselves.
She's seen a few pairs of trousers in her time, that we're saying.
How dare you?
And she's seen at least four legs.
And probably some bulls.
Gentlemen cows.
They were both gentlemen cows. So since the death of her second husband in 1873, she had lived on her own. Oh, the scandal.
Oh,
at
the
number two,
worst.
Mayfield Cottages in Park Road in Richmond. And she happened to live near a pub called The Hole in the Wall, which would later become the site of David Attenborough's home. So
it's
when he
pub.
Dug up, well, he had dug up the ground. I don't know if any of the original foundation is there. I like to think it is.
Yeah,
but
I'd like to think it's the same.
I mean, I bet it's grade two listed. So what was he doing digging that up?
Dave, that's what we need to talk about, is the planning regulations.
Distracting us with the straws, but...
yeah,
maybe not
the,
such
the
a
murder.
Treasure.
Yeah.
So Julia was described... I love these old cases because there's quotes from people that describe how they looked, and it's just never flattering. She was described by her doctor as a small, well-dressed woman. You're like, fair enough.
Nice.
I just wanted to ask you, how do you think your doctor would describe you if they were just being honest, like, and they didn't have...
A slight hypochondriac.
Nice.
Who should probably brush her hair before she comes in.
I'd be a tall, unwell-dressed woman. Like, the exact opposite of this murder victim, which is a great thing, I think. I feel safe.
Jenny, how would your doctor describe you?
Yeah, slight hypochondriac, needs to brush the hair more. Pretty much.
Cheers.
Pretty much the same thing.
You guys, yep. you have the same GP surgery.
Disappointing
no,
medicine.
I think that's most GPs would describe anybody as yeah. unkempt and overreacts to smallest thing.
Wouldn't that be true. Awful if your doctor diagnosed you as unkempt?
Terminally unkempt.
When I was a therapist, we were trained to describe people because that's a sign of depression and other disorders
really?
That you have to describe right. how people are, huh. are groomed. So you make a point of saying well-groomed. But I felt so that. Bad when I'd be like, ill-groomed. Like,
yeah.
I just felt,
I
yeah.
get it.
And it's important.
Okay,
but,
do me now. How am I?
Hot.
Thank you.
Smoking
thank you.
I mean, hot.
Yeah.
But
I sort of
also, sociopaths or psychopaths, I forget which one, they dress super good. Like, they're all about, like, good suits, looking amazing all the time. With the high, like, I'm drunk.
I've got quite used to being on set and somebody following me around. Two people at least following me around. Someone is rolling bits of lint and invisible fluff off my dress and like pulling down my underskirt so it all sits smoothly and someone checking my hair and checking my makeup. So it's real life. It's a real struggle for me.
Gosh.
It's hard. You know, I would be described as probably ill-kempt.
Yeah. That's like my OCD personified. Like if you gave it human form, it would just be like a lint brush on me all the time. Nightmare. Okay, so notably, Julia was not wealthy, but lower middle class. The shame.
She's and she was alone. Considered.
Yeah, she cannot afford to be single.
No, that is a crime.
And she was considered temperamental and eccentric by her neighbors, often disappearing for months at a time.
That's how my neighbors do describe her. Yes. Eccentric, temperamental, and disappears. Yeah.
To me, that's like, in modern terms, it's like, so she had opinions and she liked to travel. What a cunt. That just sounds like shitty neighbors. Yeah. So much credit. Anyway, her desire to employ a live-in domestic servant was likely born out of a desire to appear more prosperous than she was.
Yeah, fair enough.
So the theory goes, and she had difficulty keeping anyone hired because she was a harsh employer. Enter Kate Webster.
That is the name of a villain if ever I heard one.
Yeah. Where is Kate Webster from?
Coronation Street.
Yes. She's probably from like Woking.
Oh yeah.
Staines. Is she from Staines?
She's not from the United Kingdom.
Oh, Kate
but
Webster.
She's not far away.
Where Irish. She's definitely Irish.
Irish.
Oh, that's even worse.
That's even worse.
Speaking as a member of the Irish contingent, she's bad news. I bet she's a ginger.
Bad news, Kate Webster.
Kate
was born. I actually don't know if she was.
We need to know.
We need to find her doctor.
Let's.
Kate Webster sounds like a temptress. To be honest, she sounds like she's on it.
It's a great name, but let's not romanticize her because
come on, Kate.
Shit goes down. Okay,
go on, Kate.
Kate was born.
I'm team Kate now.
It does not take a lot to get the victim on the side.
You just like the victim a second ago.
You know, she's on both sides.
Yeah. But you know, if she was a dick to the domestics, then I mean,
yeah, that is
you kind of deserve it a little bit, don't you?
Yeah,
you've got to be nice to people in customer service.
That's true.
I've been there, friend.
If they just had that term in the Victorian era,
customer service.
This is a customer service issue.
It was just service.
I want to speak to your manager.
Kate was born during the Irish potato famine.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as the Great Hunger. I mean, my God.
Because loads of people left Ireland because
that's when they went to America and
That's it. Two million.
Because there was nothing to eat and it was stay and die or leave and possibly die.
So that was one-eighth of the population. 2 million people emigrated to the UK, the US.
Mm. Right.
And brought down the mood, didn't I?
Yeah.
You want to kill a room? Potato famine.
But it's a serious issue because British people don't know our own history and how we killed the Irish.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I never knew that there was just this complete laissez-faire.
Yeah.
British
people don't understand why the Irish hate Cromwell.
Mm.
But like me, for example.
You're like, who's Cromwell?
Stephen Cromwell, I think I know who he is. Guys, isn't it funny how I pretend not to know anything?
We know that's your role. It's just a persona.
It's just a bit of fun.
Yeah. Right, the spitting on guests or pretending not to know anything.
This did tickle me a little bit. Kate was described as strong and tall at 5'5".
Go on, Kate.
Love that Victorian era. Oh, that was tall.
Strapping lass in the
strong and tall.
The 19th century.
Oh, man, I would have been a basketball player.
You'd have been in the circus.
You really would have been. Oh, my God.
At least I'd have had work.
Yeah, regular work.
Wow, Ripley's Wilkins. That's amazing. So she did have a freckled complexion and prominent teeth. So she may have been ginger with the freckles.
I'm seeing a lot of myself in Kate now.
Waiting to hear what she did.
Kate was convicted of larceny at just 15.
Go on, girl.
And eventually racked up 36 counts of larceny after emigrating to Liverpool and then London. Fun fact, the term larceny was eventually dropped so that the crime of unlawfully taking property could be broken up into specific categories. Yeah. Any guesses what any of those specific categories
theft?
Are?
Yeah, robbery, I thought burglary. Larceny was theft.
Yes.
Is that it? That can't be it.
There are more.
So theft, burglary, what was the other one you said?
Robbery.
Robbery.
Yep.
So, I mean...
you've gotten three of them. Go, Bolton.
So burglary is you're taking property from somebody else's property without robbery, you're taking it from them.
Ah.
I think theft is taking property from a business premises.
Ooh.
So they are. It's all slightly
different.
I
did not know that.
There's armed robbery, obviously, which is like enhanced with weapons.
From a person.
Yes, from, yeah, so personal.
What if you have armed robbery in a bank? That's still, that's theft from a corporate.
But you are threatening those people. So that it's, yeah, it's.
What does it come under? Theft? No.
Armed robbery. Because you are menacing people to extract
and if you
property.
Okay. Breaking theft and entry would be also burglary. Nobody. So you could be under both umbrellas. There's also fraud, shoplifting, looting, embezzlement.
Nice.
Or what I call a Thursday.
So we don't know which of those Kate
larceny was just
because it was the blanket
all,
term. Right.
But we're guessing she probably worked as a domestic servant and took personal
a bit
property.
Of silverware.
So she spent 18 months in prison. She was convicted of larceny almost immediately upon her release, and then she's in prison for another year. Oh, and then Julia's friend says, "Hey, I know a great domestic servant. She's super reliable. Her name's Kate."
Okay, so this friend is like not a good friend.
well,
she probably was a neighbor, because they were like, "Oh, she's really eccentric."
So like, yeah, they're both twats. Let's set them up.
Yeah,
life before CRB checks too. So.
But
Julia.
You had to have references. Like.
But she had a reference from this friend. What a dick.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah, it's the best word of mouth. Julia hires Kate immediately, apparently doesn't ask anything about her past. I mean, bearing in mind that she's had trouble holding on to other servants, but their relationship quickly deteriorates. Kate later testifies that Julia would do things to irritate her, for instance, asking her to clean all the rooms, and then she would go over each one individually and criticize her work.
She was asking for murder, let's
be honest. Okay, I mean, Julia is bored. Like, she needs some hobbies.
She does.
Why is she just criticizing people?
Where was she disappearing to for months at a time if she was literally just hanging out? She was micromanaging.
Yeah.
Now, that is a crime.
What's her deal?
No, we're talking criminal behaviour. That should be on the statute books.
Micromanaging.
To a fault.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
So Julia would persuade her friends to allow Kate to stay with them because she annoyed her so much. And she also did not like to be alone with her. So she was good enough to clean the rooms, but then she would like... her off to other people.
I guess she'd annoyed that many people. She Yeah. This was her last person she could have clean. Although she'd have to clean herself. Good Lord. How much mess is she making? She lives on her own.
Yeah.
Sometimes I find, like, so my boyfriend went away for the last couple of days and I have just, oh my God, the flat, literally, oh, it looks like somebody's died in there. It's horrible. And it's like, I just think, why would I, because I have a very low threshold, like, or a high threshold, I guess, for like mess. And I'm just like, hey, it's great. I'm creative. I'm a lot of fun. Let's go with it. And then the minute, like, it's true though. Like, I thought, like, I remember my friend saying, like, oh, can I pop around and give you a gift? And I was like, well, this is not a gift because I literally have to. You know, when you see your flat for the first time when you realize someone's coming around?
Yes. It's a different place altogether. Yeah,
exactly. And you're like,
I can cope
shit.
With this. No!
Oh my God. It's like the first time you get glasses and you're like, there are leaves on the trees.
Yes. It's like, I have four bras and four rooms and there's one bra in each. Like, it's. Yeah, so, I mean, if you live on your own, I think the place would be a shit show. Which is why I will never leave my boyfriend. I love him very much.
It's very domesticated.
Exactly. He's really good at tidying bras away.
Oh, mate. Oh.
Assigning them to the correct rooms, at least.
What a guy. The correct drawer. What a guy.
Cheers to him.
Cheers to him. Cheers. Cheers. Yeah, thanks for keeping...
And should you ever get married, please give that as your speech. Like, just don't be like, there's just
I might just play this bit.
Yeah. There's just one speech, and it's from me. Now, Julia's last journal entry is used as significant evidence against Kate. What do you think it was?
Well, she just bashed me over the head with a frying pan. I don't feel very well. I'm going for a lie down.
Or like, I think she's trying to kill me.
Okay.
This woman will be the end of me.
I don't trust
I'm trying to think
her.
Victorian.
Yeah.
A bit of language.
Like,
yeah.
She's got too many trousers. Excuse my French.
Oh no, I saw a leg.
Did she write the diary entry in blood?
Was it just a smear on a wall?
Do you remember that bit?
A bloody handprint. Signed.
Bit, my favourite bit in The Simpsons ever is when Sideshow Bob is writing in his diary about Bart Simpson. Yeah. And someone just says, use a pen, Sideshow Bob. And it's my favourite line from The Simpsons. And I feel like she might have been writing in blood.
Well, I don't know that for sure. But it read, give Catherine warning to leave.
Ooh.
So she had fired
she'd
her.
She'd fired her. She'd given her notice.
Oh.
Never fire Kate Webster. Kate persuades Julia to allow her to stay for an extra 3 days. Well, Julia Thomas.
I've heard this story before. Yeah. They're not there. They're gonna get the feet under the table. Yeah, just give me another week. Yeah, I'll be out your hair then. You don't even know which bras go in which rooms.
This is the kitchen bra. Why on earth is it in the bathroom? Jeez, Alf. Brilliant.
You don't even know which bras go. I definitely have a
There's
kitchen bra.
To this.
My designated living room bra. Is it just that you take off a bra when you just have had enough of it?
Literally, but genuinely,
it just
that's
gets
it.
Discarded.
That's it. You know, like sometimes
it's fair enough.
I'm in the hallway where I live, like before we've got into our flat, and I'm taking the bra off. And Toby's like, wait until we get into the fucking house. And I'm like, no, mate, this is coming off. And then, you know, when you get home and you're halfway through a movie and you're like, I'm still wearing my fucking bra. What
How?
Am I doing?
How have you managed that?
I know. So that is the living room bra. And then sometimes I'm cooking and I'm like,
yes.
What the fuck is this?
And it gets hot, so your tits expand and you have to take it off.
Also, what's that? Yes. You need to get something out of the oven. Padded bra. Thanks very much.
I've found that I cook better when I keep my sports bra on.
Ooh.
So I come back from the gym, like, because my sports bra is mighty. It has to be. There's a lot to kind of keep flat and supported and unmoving. And it's got a zip up the front and it's industrial.
Whoa. Oh my God, that to take off must be fucking boring.
Oh, wow.
It's amazing. To take it off is amazing. If it starts to slightly unzip while you're in the gym, you have to... Whoa, 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 whoa. Hand up top. Oh, that that was nearly someone's eye out. Probably mine. I don't need that to happen in public.
I can.
I'm sorry, I called it hottest woman on ITV. Let's carry on.
Holly Willoughby does not talk about her sports bra in this way.
Really?
No.
Well, she should. She should.
Get Holly on. Ask her questions about her underwear.
Okay. Julia Thomas's last scene at church, where she tells everyone that they've been quarrelling. Oh, she's one of those people at church.
She waits to hang around afterwards to chat to everyone.
Oh, yeah. I don't mean to put Julia annoying down. But Julia tells them that they've been quarreling and that Kate had thrown into a passionate rage at being fired.
Probably in full safety that Kate didn't go to that church.
Oh.
Because Julia's definitely C of E. 100%. Kate is down the road at the scruffy little Catholic chapel.
Yeah.
Right. She can't defend herself.
Oh my God, you're so definitely right.
I sort of feel like we should have Jenny in the corner of the room for every recording. In fact, Jenny, how likely is this?
Yeah.
So Julia returns home from church. A neighbor later testifies that they heard a single thud like that of a chair falling. What do you think happened?
A chair fell.
What, did she take her bra off?
No, that would be two thuds.
And to be honest, my bra is probably like a feather. It's not big enough. It's a real shame. Oh God, the idea of having a bra that would make a thud when you took it off. Anyway, sorry.
Single thud. I'm going back to frying pan head.
Frying pan on the head, very good guess. Ooh. I like that. To quote Kate Webster's own testimony.
Uh-oh.
Now, I wrote in parentheses, do a bad Irish accent, but I just feel like maybe that's not necessary.
So many people. Yeah.
Do you think I would?
No. But
I mean, I'm a little bit Irish. Glenn, come on, am I right?
I'm a little bit Irish. I can't do an
not
Irish
enough to
how
do
Irish
my
are you?
Irish
I'm a little bit Irish.
How Irish
I'm
are you?
Pretty Irish.
Can
two
you get
generations
the passport?
Back. I could get a passport. I play for the Irish national quiz team, so I'm
ooh,
that Irish.
Oh, you're properly Irish.
Yeah.
Well, to quote Kate Webster's own testimony.
Accent. Go on, son. You've got this.
Mrs. Thomas came in and went upstairs. I went up after her and we had an argument which ripened into a quarrel. And in the height of my anger and rage, I threw her from the top of the stairs to the ground floor.
Kate!
I thought you were gasping at the accent. It was actually what happened.
There's a crime in there.
I will stop.
Well, there is, yeah.
I'll stop the accent. Nice. She had a heavy fall, and I became agitated at what had occurred, lost all control of myself. What does Kate do with the body?
Buries it. No, right. In the cellar. Is there a cellar?
There is not a cellar to my
knowledge. Buries of them.
But the thing is, we know their skull doesn't get found until David Attenborough
finds
it.
Oh, that's got to be... Is there a well on the property or something? It's going deep, isn't it? It's deep underground. We knew that it was a sensational case at the time that she'd been killed, but her skull hasn't turned up. So did the rest of her skeleton get found? Did she chop off her head? Did she chop off her head and her hands
ding,
to stop her from being
Quiz
identified
master.
Kind of thing? Yeah. No one will know who this body is if I just chop off its head.
Yes.
Oh, wow. That was her plan.
Ah, right. To get rid of the body.
Identification.
Exactly. So and she does something else to prevent identification. What is
it?
Did she boil a body or something like that?
Ding, ding, ding.
Oh,
my God.
Maybe I'm reincarnated Kate Webster because that's, I was like, that's exactly what I do. I'd get a big old pan.
That's Vixen exactly what again. I
do. That's a great sentence. That's exactly what I do.
In the mind of a killer.
If I was trying to kill the person that employed me that I was quite pissed off with, I'd totally boil them.
I'm
in Victorian times. Yeah. I mean, I have access to strong chemicals that I might have these days.
There was no HR.
Yep, she dismembers it and boils the body to prevent identification.
And that would be some great stock for soup.
Oh my God. Whoa. Do you know this case?
What?
Well...
Kate Webster is
no.
I mean, sit tight. It's just rumor, but let's get to the facts first. No, but it would be tasty.
I want to hear the rumor too, though.
Well, the neighbors described an unpleasant smell, but run it off because it was laundry day.
Oh well, yeah, they use like lion stuff and laundry day, didn't they? To the clean fabric, like seriously, so the stuff would stink because they were getting fat out of things by using lye.
Lime? What's lye?
It's a chemical that'll burns, it reacts with fat and it'll like serious.
It's no, really
I would not recommend consuming it because
so
it will kill you.
It smells bad when they're doing it, but then the laundry smells nice after. Yeah.
So Kate attempts to put all of the remains into a wooden box, but the skull and one of the feet don't fit into this particular box. It's just me packing for a holiday.
It's not fucking smash it up.
Yeah.
Get a hammer, friend.
Yeah, come on, there's ways around
this. That'll go to powder.
Come on, Kate.
Think outside the box, inside the box. Go, smash it. Maybe she just thought it was undignified to smash the bits up, which is kind of weird when you've killed somebody.
And
you want to keep the bits intact out of some slight respect for them.
Yeah, you've chopped most
smash
of
it
them.
All.
You know what she didn't have was Tetris. On her Game Boy.
Those awesome skills.
They didn't know how to fit shit.
No.
Like, I know how to pack because of Tetris. Sorry to bring up a hard memory. Back to the brutal murder.
Yeah.
The remains she can fit in the box are put into a bag. The foot is thrown onto a rubbish heap in Twickenham. And the skull...
Can I say she lives in Richmond? That's right near a massive fuck-off river. Put the bones in the box
stuff.
With something heavy, drop it in the river.
Hold that thought.
The
skull is buried near the hole in the wall pub where it's discovered 131 years later. Just a couple years older than David Attenborough. But she's still
A national treasure, madam.
Exactly. You have to be that old to be a national treasure. But she's still got the body and the box in the bag. It's a morbid Russian doll. Yeah. What does Kate do next? I believe you've just brought it up
the river and try and sink it to the bottom.
I can't work out if she's proud of this or doesn't know how best to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
She panicked though. She said that she panicked. She chucked it down the stairs and then was like, shut up. Dead.
But that's an excellent question.
But then that takes some kind of really cold thought to go, get rid of the flesh by boiling it.
Yeah.
I'll give you a hint about what she does next. And yes, it does involve the river, but she also borrows some clothes.
I think with her clothes, I've got a feeling she pretends to be her. Because if it's
yes!
We've had some other fraud cases.
I would not have guessed that. That's awesome.
Does she go to the bank and withdraw all her money? Because that would be an amazing trick.
Oh, God, of course.
Not quite, but you're thinking along the right lines. Kate wears Julia Thomas's dresses and goes to visit some old neighbors that she hasn't seen. She shows some leg. She hasn't seen these neighbors in 6 years, and she introduces herself as Mrs. Thomas. She invites them to a pub and along the way disposes of the box in the river.
Why would she do that in front of witnesses?
It's very bizarre.
What is wrong with her? Wants to get caught. She's so confused.
The box washes ashore the next day, and around the same time, a human ankle is discovered in Twickenham. And reported to the police.
Kate, your heart wasn't in it.
You should have weighed that box down, friend. Wood floats, right? It's a wooden box. What's wrong with her?
Yeah.
It's just a bit of ballast, isn't there? Just stick some pebbles in, sinks to the bottom, never would have been found.
She was literally testing to see what would happen.
Now, the police can't identify the body. And this is so indicative of the time, but somebody examines the bones that they do have and incorrectly speculates it's a woman with dark hair.
Wow.
How do you get that from bones? It's a dark-haired woman. I spare the flaxen women from this crime.
It would have been delicate.
So weird.
God.
The remains are buried, but there are no leads at this point. What does Kate do now? Does she flee? What does she do?
And there's no one living in that house. She may as well just hang out a bit.
And were the neighbours convinced? Did she
continue cleaning?
Did she pull it off? Yeah.
I love that. She's a bit eccentric. She's changed her entire face.
She's only there half
she'll go,
the time.
She'll go in one outfit, clean up, and then go out pegging out some washing dressed as Mrs. Yeah. What's it?
Jenny, you are good at getting into the show.
I know, I'm too good at getting into the mind of a killer.
It's this is becoming apparent.
But now that is that bit, you'd want to sort of work out the alibi thing.
Yeah.
By extending
nothing wrong here.
The period of time that the victim might or might not have been alive. So if you can sort of fool your neighbours.
Yeah, you can fudge the timeline.
Yeah, by looking sort of like them and then just being seen in the garden a little bit and then going back inside. Off. Well, she was absolutely fine last week. She can't. I've been dead last
month. They can't investigate that then.
Don't fuck with the Bolton Brainiac.
Oh my god, that is awesome though.
She continues to dress as and pose as Mrs. Thomas. She sells Mrs. Thomas's things. So she's trying to make a profit before she flees.
Wow.
So that finally raises suspicion with the neighbors, who obviously are not very good friends with Julia.
They hated Julia, these neighbors.
She's eccentric.
Yeah.
Pain in the ass is what
that unmarried woman who leaves. So when some men come to collect the furniture that Kate has sold on, a neighbor inquires and says, wait, who's arranged this? And the man points to Kate Webster and says, Mrs. Thomas.
Busted!
Now she finally flees back to Ireland in what I assume is a very slow motion chase.
A 6-week ship.
Yeah. The police are called and they discover blood marks, bone fragments in the fireplace, fat remnants behind the stove.
That's a terrible
stove.
Cleaner. No, well, she got fired.
I mean,
if only Julia had been there to check her work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No wonder she got fired, honestly. That's, I
mean, at least that bit's explained.
Yeah.
So rumors go wild, including people claiming that Kate had offered them Julia's rendered fat as drippings to the local children.
I wanted the rumors. I wanted the rumors, and now I've got them. I'm disgusted. But that's amazing.
And I mean, we can only speculate. But
she's been nice. She was, you know, trying to help those poor little kids who probably...
Yeah. It's generally accepted as legend.
Yeah, I mean, it's the poorhouse or the human drippings.
Yeah. I just feel like these people...
The basic choice for Victorian orphans. Poorhouse or
so
human
bad,
dripping.
Though,
please,
right?
Sir, I want some... Nah, actually.
I want death, please.
These people can't even say trousers. I mean, they're looking for excitement.
I mean, it's mad, isn't it? Everyone's
human
dying.
Human fat. Woo! Yeah. So a wanted notice is issued and they work in conjunction with the Irish authorities, who of course know Kate because of all of her counts of larceny.
Oh, she has previous. She's going down.
She's well known.
Don't steal and murder, guys. Pick one or the other. She's a frequent flyer. Oh, dear. So they arrest her at her uncle's farm with a son who she had fled with and who I had no information about until the end of the story.
How old is the son? Do we know?
Didn't say, just said she's there with a son. So I think the Telegraph would agree. She's not just a brutal murderer, she's kind of a shitty mother as well. Okay, so the case causes a sensation in the UK and Ireland. People start flocking to view the cottage where the murder occurred.
Yeah.
Even the King of Sweden comes to watch.
Oh my god!
The trial.
We know you've made it when the King of Sweden's
Sweden, get your shit together. Why are you coming to a murder cottage? Yeah.
So it's just a circus of its time. Now, does Kate plead guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty on reason of diminished poverty.
It's an accident. It's an accident.
It was an accident, and she boiled her by just it was she's making soup and she got confused.
She fell in the cauldron.
I reckon she would say that she's just cosplaying.
She does plead not guilty. She tries to implicate the people that she'd invited to the pub that day.
Oh, that's why she did it. She had thought it through fully.
That was a disordered mind that did that.
Yeah.
That wasn't like, oh, brilliant, I can blame them. It was like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'll just get rid of a box in front of some strangers and try and pretend I haven't seen them in 6 years. That is not a good A game. Like, that's my A game plan. 6 years,
which is why I look so different.
They've got an alibi and a huge number of witnesses testify against her.
This is classist.
Kate Webster is sentenced to death. And she eventually confesses.
Wow.
But she first blames the father of her son, which I just mentioned, like last-ditch effort. Like, it's just her son.
So this is like the room. Who are you? Why have we only just heard of you now?
Very good. I like that. So she says he took part in the murder, but then she recants and admits that she had acted alone.
Nothing like
the pressure of death to bring the truth
out. Who is this guy that she's just accused of murder for no, like, that we've just heard of?
If he's abandoned her, though, I'm assuming he's left her to it.
Is he Irish?
We don't know how old the son is, so he could have been born in Ireland. But she's tall,
she's got freckles, she's got prominent teeth. You draw your own conclusions.
My conclusions are...
She tries to get out of the execution, and this has become such a recurrent theme on this podcast. How does she try to get out of execution?
Pregnant.
Exactly.
Yes.
Is she pregnant?
Not enough.
This doesn't sound like she's
not enough. Oh my god, you are so clever, you Bolton brainiac. Because I've learned just on this case now. See, we do this so we can learn. Because I've wondered, like, how do they check if a woman is pregnant back then?
Without pee sticks.
Exactly. And it was known as being quick with child. So it was only at the point where the baby was kicking, which is so far along.
Did they not have people who, smelled and tasted the pee? Because they've always used piss as, like, a pregnancy test, haven't they? Because there's... It's got a different pH or something, so people can tell.
I certainly did that while I was a teenager. Just am I pregnant? No.
See, now I have so much to Google. We're just going to keep growing.
That's a really good one.
We only grow when we
recently
know.
Recently, I was in a cubicle at work. There was one other cubicle in the studio. And someone came in to pee next to me. I was like, this person's pregnant. And I smelled it. And I came out and it was our floor manager who was heavily pregnant.
Shut up!
But it smelled like sweet. It smelled like maple syrup. Like, really sweet.
Whoa!
I was like, that piss doesn't smell normal.
Oh my God.
But, there's definitely an aroma to it.
Oh my God, you could be like...
it before and not know what it was.
The Bolton birth controller. You could be... like a marvel.
Will you come to the toilet with
right
me
now? What became of Kate Webster? How does the story end?
Dead. Hanged. Oh. Hanged by the neck until she was dead.
Kate was hanged at Wandsworth Prison using a new and improved long drop technique that caused an instant death. So there's that. The case continued to be a huge scandal after the hanging, with books written and a wax statue made of her within weeks of her arrest. She wasn't even found guilty, and they made a wax figure of her at Madame Tussauds.
Conclusion. She was definitely going down if they wanted to make a wax statue.
Well, I know from another case, because she sat alongside other infamous criminals like Burke and Hare and Dr. Crippen, and we know there was a fire at Madame Tussauds, so I guess it would have melted. So I don't know.
She must have reports, though. Must be able to tell what she...
But the most important question, was she ginger?
She had freckles. I'm calling it for the ginger race.
You find out that you're on trial for murder, blah, blah, cake lawyer. Hey, how am I, like, what's it looking like? Well, they're making a waxwork of you, so probably you're dying.
It's not a good sign, is
it?
Yeah,
right? You're going to be infamous for centuries. Goodbye.
And yet, I would settle for that. You know? Yeah. Just make a waxwork of me, people. Just make a waxwork of Taylor Glenn.
I wouldn't want to look that shiny. Do you know what I mean? I have very
sort of mattifying you all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Like whenever I see the wax work,
you lovely matte skin.
Yeah, I've never been a shiny person.
You're not shiny.
And I think if I was in a waxwork, I don't think it would really show off my beautiful matte skin.
What you want to be known for.
Yeah. Oh my god!
Generations.
Yeah. I'll never kill again.
Your waxwork.
figure would be you, like, mid throwing off a bra in the hallway. Like, hitting
no, when you
your boyfriend in the face.
Four bras going. Which room is this for?
Sort of definitely one I want to be remembered for.
That would be a much more cool version of Cluedo, actually.
It was Hannah George in the living room.
Less
with the
murdery.
One.
Yeah.
But which, yeah.
It was the front clasp. Professor Grope in the front room with the front clasp.
How do you know what I call my boyfriend?
Yes, he got snort.
So is this carte blanche to call him Professor Grope?
I mean, please do.
Should we do it before the episode's out, though? Just be like, hey, what's up, Professor Grope?
He doesn't listen to this shit. It's fine.
Safety, yeah.
If you ever see him around,
that would be amazing.
Hey, Toby, here you get a tiny brass and groping.
Your the longer he doesn't know about it, the funnier it is.
So, going back to Jenny's...
I'm having so much fun.
Okay. So one of the most disturbing aspects of this case to the people of the Victorian times...
She wore trousers.
Of course. Yes. Well, in a sense, yes. It was the possibility that somebody meant to be subservient and obedient could retaliate in such a brutal fashion.
It's all about class.
And then have the nerve to pose as an employer and get away with it for a time. Let that be a lesson.
That was it, that she got away with posing
as
the boss. Yeah.
That was a bigger affront.
Anyway, go Ireland. I mean, no.
Go on, Kate, son.
Okay.
She nearly got away with it if it wasn't for that pesky box. I mean, there were two victims there. There was a victim of the murder and the victim of circumstance.
Yes.
Ooh. I kind of feel like the vixen won.
Oh, the quiz. I forgot we were doing a quiz.
It was close for a while and then it was just like...
Yeah, I don't think it was so much a quiz as how would you commit a crime in Victorian times, which... I'm kind of worried.
Actually, you
about.
Were very good at.
I'm a bit. I've listened to far too much true crime. How would I get rid of that body? Well, clearly, if I was a domestic servant, I would boil up the bones.
Yeah, you knew.
And render the fat.
You were on it. That's true.
Wow. Yeah, I'd be kind of scared if anyone pissed me off and stood at the top of stairs.
Just to make listeners aware
that stay on the ground floor.
Yeah, just bungalow. If you've got a bungalow, feel free to slag off Jenny Ryan.
Be polite to Jenny Ryan. Don't get her angry.
What? Did you hear that, Daily Express?
Don't criticise my cleaning, for one thing. And my bras stay in the room that they're placed.
And that is the least they deserve.
Drunk women solving crime.
Now, it's come to the point where we will solve a listener crime.
Yay!
Now, I've chosen a crime that sort of solves itself, and I just thought we could comment on it, because sometimes that's the nature of crime.
Like a self-solving crime.
Yeah. So, I was 21 and bumming around Italy.
Okay, that felt like it was going to go a different way.
Right. This is definitely my mum, because she was bumming around Italy when she was pregnant with me.
Oh, golly.
That's why for a while I was convinced I was born in Italy.
Oh, gosh.
Because she went interrailing around Italy when she was 21 and then found out she was pregnant with me.
Oh, no.
So
you're shitting me.
Pregnant.
I knew there was a reason I chose this. Oh, my God. Strapping. You're about to meet your
father.
Yeah,
it was 1981.
Mate, you have so many shots at a passport.
I don't. No. So my mum found out she was pregnant with me and came back and told my dad. And my dad did not believe that he was the father and was waiting for me to come out, like, looking super Mediterranean, which didn't help because my mum's like the dark Irish. So she's got black hair, really tannable skin. She's got olive complexion. She's just, and I came out and I was ginger as hell, looking just like my dad.
I love the fact that your dad was like, well, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
That's amazing,
But she had a little bit of a romance with a guy who was training to be a clown in
mate,
France.
So it was a bit of mum.
Wait.
This is real Mamma Mia.
Except there is zero doubt, because this hairline belongs to one person only, and that is my father.
Envy your hairline.
It's not a forehead, it's a two head. Because basically my eyebrows and my hair join up.
I'm so jealous.
There is no male pattern baldness from the front in my family.
Oh, but look,
either side.
See, I'm Jack Nicholson, so I would love that.
Oh,
you've got the Four Widows peak. That's nice.
Oh,
I've got two cowlicks. It's impossible.
That's
to
a
do
really nice way of saying like Eddie from the Munsters. But thanks. Okay. Wow, we're about to meet your dad.
Hey!
I had run out of money, so I wasn't able to get a hostel bed. I went to sleep.
On the beach.
This is amazing. No, I went to sleep on a park bench in Bologna.
This happened to my mum.
When I woke up in the morning, a beautiful Italian boy offered me a spliff.
Oh. Yeah.
I thought it was the start.
Hiya, Mum.
This checks out.
I thought it was the start of something beautiful, but after an hour of chatting, he left abruptly. He'd stolen my wallet containing just 10 lira.
So he stole 10 lira? That's like a quid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but so she's had 10 liras worth of dope, right?
Actually,
yeah, he's come out of that exchange.
He'd do better than he did with that stealing.
Which is the same that can be said for Jenny's dad. So no, I'm joking. You're a credit to him.
But he thought that it wasn't his kid, and it was his kid. So he's won the lottery.
Oh yeah, no, sure.
Oh, he really has won the lottery with me. I put up with him. Yeah. Ironically enough, he now lives in Italy.
Really?
Yeah.
I would give anything to be stoned in Italy right now. I'm just throwing that out there. That sounds amazing.
If we've drunk women on tour.
Oh my god.
Women on tour.
Do we have any listeners in Italy or Amsterdam? That'd be easier to get the
goods. All two of you, we're really into the you listen.
I want to go.
We can talk about Amsterdam.
I guess we solved the crime. It's Jenny's dad. Jenny.
Probably.
Is there anything you'd like
to... It wouldn't surprise me if he was grifting his way around Northern Italy.
Jenny Ryan.
Fake skunk.
A.K.A. The Vixen.
A.K.A.
Bolton Brainiac. Is there anything you'd like to plug?
I've already forgotten your nickname. Bolton Brainiac.
The Bolton Brainiac.
Sorry.
Yes.
I added a the, but didn't need to be there.
I would like to plug my podcast.
Yay!
Which is the wonderful Fingers on Butt. Fingers on Buttons. I can't remember. My podcast is it's Fingers on Buzzers, which I present with the delightful Lucy Porter, who you are very well acquainted with.
We know her.
Is she good at solving crime though?
I spat my drink on her.
It was an accident.
She likes that.
Do you know what? I got that vibe.
Yeah.
Okay.
She'll accept it. We're about to make some new episodes. It's very exciting. It's all about quizzing, and yeah, it's very niche, but it's also very not niche. So quizzing, you think, is a really niche hobby, and then everyone's got something to add to it.
Yeah.
So everyone watches these shows or goes down the pub quiz.
Yeah, yeah.
They might, you know, the granddad plays in the quiz league and they get the questions when they come back from quiz league, and it's
awesome.
It's a hobby that unites the nation.
Very nice. We talk
about all the things to do with it.
Let's have it.
Nice.
That sounds awesome.
Fun fact. Whenever I go to say Bradley Walsh, I accidentally say Bradley Cooper. And I would just like to imagine a world where that was that.
As my stepdad says about Bradley Walsh, he looks taller when he's off his bike. He confused it with Bradley Wiggins.
That's
nice.
Good.
Thank you so much, Drunk Women. Jenny Ryan. Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and on Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then please write it in that review and we'll solve it. Thank you so much to Acast for hosting us, and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.